log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/EM.
This is Foresight. A program on how to worship Allah.
Allah, 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 Allah.
Today's tip, the love and fear of Allah when it comes to submission.
Allah, 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 Allahu Rabbi, la sharika lahu.
So dear listeners, we're talking about the idea and the attribute and the aspect of a submission when it comes to the spiritual wayfaring and our ubudiyah to Allah, our servitude to Allah, and our worship to Allah. This submission to Allah, this khushu and this humility and this tranquility, all of these things are a state of heart. And when the heart is in this state of submissiveness and humility and reverential love and reverential fear of Allah, then likewise the actions of an individual will reflect so. Now, when we were talking about the reverential fear that people have because they are aware of the manifestations of the Jalal and the glory of Allah, we find that one type of, or one specific prophet which had this great reverential fear of Allah was Prophet Yahya, or Prophet John, John the Baptist as is known in the English world. And he was well known for having this reverential fear of Allah. Now, to try to wrap up this attribute of ours, submission, we find that sometimes this submission is mixed with reverential love, and sometimes this submission is mixed with reverential fear. And it is interesting, Imam Khomeini writes in one place that, keep in mind, in every love there is fear, and in every fear there is love. And so, dear friends, the degrees and the states and the stages and the levels of submission are, of course, according to the degrees of the understanding of the greatness and the majesty and the beauty and the glory and the power of Allah. Now, Imam Khomeini, interestingly, who himself was a master of spiritual wayfaring, he was considered to be among the greatest of Urafa, the Gnostics, Islamic Gnostics. He says that we are deprived of the light of visions. We have but to indulge in acquiring submission by means of knowledge and faith, iman. And so we conclude with a beautiful verse of the Holy Quran, which is Surah Al-Mu'minun. It is chapter 23, verse number 1 and 2. Allah the Mighty, the Exalted says, "Successful indeed are the believers who are submissive in their salah."
IRIB English Radio.
Our website is parstoday.com.
Allah is the unique Arabic name for the one true God. He is the only one worthy of worship, with no rivals, equals, or partners. Allah is not like His creation, as nothing shares His divine essence and attributes, such as being the Creator, the Provider, the Most Merciful, the All-Powerful, the Most Just, the All-Wise, and the All-Knowing. Allah is without partner or equal in His authority and actions. The world was created by Allah's command alone. He runs the world and controls it all alone. Muslims believe that Allah is one, indivisible, and unequal in His divinity and knowledge. He does not have any ancestors, nor does He have descendants, and He is without wife, partner, or offspring. None came before Him, and He is in no need of any angel, prophet, or saint. Of all the sins committed by His creation, none is greater than the act of shirk, which is the Arabic word for associating partners with Allah. In the Islamic tradition, Allah has 99 names, which include the most loving, the friend, the most kind, and the most powerful. Allah can be translated in English language as the one and only God.
IRIB English Radio. Our website, www.parstoday.com.
Welcome back, dear friends. This is Foresight on IRIB English Radio. So we've been talking about in the program how one of the integral and necessary attributes of a spiritual wayfarer on this path of ubudiyyah to Allah and the servitude to Allah is this idea of submissiveness, of submission, of this reverential fear, this reverential love, this submissiveness and khushu, which comes about because we witness the beauties of Allah and we witness the creations of Allah and how each and every creation of Allah manifests the beauty of Allah, although never in its complete essence. Now it's interesting, but we find that the guardian and the wali, the authority of the Gnostics, of the Urafa, and the master of the Salikhs, the Sayyid of the spiritual wayfarers, Amir al-Mu'mineen, the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali, peace and blessings upon him, he probably alludes to this very point that we talked about previously, that there should be a healthy balance between the love of Allah and the fear of Allah. Imam Ali alayhi salam in Nahj al-Balagha, sermon number 90, says, "Glory be to the One, Allah, whose compassion is vast for His friends, despite His severe revenge, and whose revenge is severe for His enemies, despite His vast compassion." And so, dear friends, there has to be a healthy balance of love of Allah and the fear of Allah. For example, if we fall so deeply in love with Allah that it leads us to commit sins, this love is of no use. And if we fear Allah to such a great extent where we become hopeless and we despair and we no longer believe in the mercy of Allah, then this fear will destroy our relationship with Allah. And so there must be a healthy balance between the love of Allah and the fear of Allah, and this results in creating khushu, creating submissiveness and submission in our salah, in our daily prayers. And as Imam Ali has said, Allah's compassion for His friends is great, despite the fact that He can have severe revenge. And on the other hand, Allah's revenge is so severe for His enemies, even though He has great compassion, love, and fear when it comes to the submissiveness of an individual in their ubudiyah to Allah.
IRIB English Radio.
Our website is farstoday.com.
أجب دعائي يا رجائي بالرضا والخير، أنر طريقي مع صديقي باحترام الغير.
And now we invite you to listen to Sheikh Hamza Yusuf.
So, shirk is the reverse side of tawheed. Now, the literal sense of the term shirk may suggest that one has to be conscious of associating others with God in order to be guilty of it. How can I give a partner to someone if I do not know the someone? Well, that's actually true. And that's why the Quran says, وَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. Do not associate God once you know. And that's why a person who's in that state without knowledge is forgiven. But once it's been explained to you, then after that, you're taken into account for your knowledge. And that's why the Prophet in hidden shirk, he taught us to say, Allahumma inni a'udu bika an ushrika bika wa ana a'lamu wa astaghfiruka lima la a'lam. Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from associating with you, and I'm aware of it. And I ask forgiveness for that which I'm not aware of. Because there's subtle things that what the modern psychologists call the subconscious mind. The Muslims understood this. The Quran says, وَلَكِنُّهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. They're not conscious of it. They're doing it. يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَا يُخَادِعُونَ إِلَّا أَنفُسَهُمْ. They attempt to deceive God and those who believe, but they only succeed in deceiving themselves. But they're unaware. And that unawareness, the modern Arabic word for the subconscious is la sha'ur, which is exactly the way Allah describes the state of the hypocrite, is that he's not aware. Now the thing about la sha'ur, the subconscious, is there's an understanding in the Islamic tradition that in a truly deep sense you are aware. And it's not an excuse. And that's why the Quran says in the next world people will say, لَوْ كُنَّ نَسْمَعُ وَنَعْقِلُ مَا كُنَّ فِي أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ فَاَعْتَرَفُوا بِذَنْبِهِمْ. Would we have only listened
and comprehended what was being said to us, we wouldn't have ended up in this wretched place. And then Allah says, they finally admit their wrongs.
So these defense mechanisms of projection and denial and all these things that human beings do are essentially, according to the Islamic understanding, they're still responsible for it. And the reason for that is because this power that Allah has given us is just too vast and too enormous. And if you don't make use of it, then only you have yourself to blame. All the tools we're giving you. So it's like somebody who's given a plot of land, they have the cow, they have the plow, and they just sit there and just watch it. And then when harvest time comes, everybody else is harvesting and they're saying, nothing grew. Well, you had the seed, you had the plow, you had the cow, why didn't you do anything? Oh, you mean I should have done something? Rumi has a poem about the Day of Judgment. He said, on that day, you'll come with your head bowed and you'll look at the prophets and you'll say, get me out of this mess, the mud of my life, because I'm mired in the mud of my life. And he said, those kings on that day, those noble prophets will say, you left the plow in the middle of the field, and now you want us to harvest for you? You had all that time, you had all that energy, you had all that. So there's a belief in Islam that tawheed is from the fitrah of human. It's something we deeply know. It's our inherent nature to know. And that is why children will completely accept the understanding. They'll just completely accept it. They'll accept Tawheed. It just makes perfect sense to them.
Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Foresight. Don't forget to visit our website at farstoday.com. Until another episode and another great tip, fi amanillah, and God bless you all. سوى الله فوض الأمر لله لله قل ونادي حسبي الله قل فما خاب عنكم دع الله لا إله سوى
Food for thought.
Hello, dear listeners, and let us ponder upon a beautiful statement from the Commander of the Faithful and Leader of the Pious, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. Beware of the flight of blessings, for nothing that runs away is returned.
IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Merciful. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, especially this program, today's special, Salamun Alaikum, so welcome. Today we're going to speak about the concept of freedom in Islam. I invite you to be with us. Today, Saturday, is the 21st of Rabiu Thani, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 6th of the month of Azar, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 27th of November, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is the second surah of the Holy Quran, Surah Baqarah, verse 256. That we listen to.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم لا إكراه في الدين قد تبين الرشد من الغي فمن يكفر بالطاغوت ويؤمن بالله فقد استمسك بالعروة الوثقى لا انفصام لها وَاللَّهُ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ
There shall be no compulsion in acceptance of the religion. The right course has become clear from the wrong. So whoever disbelieves in Tawhid and believes in Allah has grasped the most trustworthy handhold with no break in it. And Allah is hearing and knowing.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
This verse is a serious answer to those who imagine that Islam applies obligation and has developed and spread through the force of sword and material power. This concluding phrase is a hint to the fact that the problem of belief and disbelief is not something that can be fulfilled by mere pretense, because Allah hears the words of all entirely, whether they state openly or they speak privately and hiddenly.
Oh God, thank you for giving us the strength to hold on, and now we're here together calling you for freedom. This
is today's special and the concept of freedom in Islam. Submission to the will and laws of Allah is the source of all freedom. It liberates the mind, soul, and behavior from the evil influences of the world. It helps mankind overcome oppressive tyrants, unjust lusts, and deviation which enslave his will. Submission to the will of Allah grants man the right to choose a better way of life, to live his life in a moral and upright way. Islam was revealed to the Prophet of humanity as merciful, eternal, and all-powerful. If during his life man submits to the will of Allah, he can depend on his mercy at the time of judgment. And we have not sent you but as a mercy to the world. Prophet of Islam, Muhammad al-Mustafa, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, is quoted as having said, "Surely I am a granted mercy."
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, the topic is aspects of freedom in the Islamic system according to Imam Khomeini. First of all, it must be indicated that the term freedom is used in the Arabic language in the sense of not having any restraint or being free from any restriction. According to certain Persian dictionaries, like for example Dr. Mu'in's Persian dictionary, which is a famous and a reliable dictionary in the Persian language, freedom, azadi, or freedom means being relieved and being released from boundaries or from restrictions and other, limitations. In the speeches and discourses of Imam Khomeini, we can rarely find any, lexicographical definition or dictionary definition of freedom, or azadi in the Persian language, as it's called. However, various aspects of freedom have been indicated by the late Imam Khomeini in his discourses, speeches, and writings. One of them is that freedom isn't, according to Imam Khomeini, freedom isn't something to have, one or two well-defined and all agreed-upon definitions by everybody. And this is quite true, because we find that some abstract concepts usually receive various interpretations. If you have access to various, dictionaries, let's say, for example, English dictionaries, various English dictionaries published in a time, in a long time span, you find that certain abstract nouns and concepts have received the various definitions.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, Every Day for 15 Minutes.
Be like the sun shining with light, be like a rose spreading its fragrance in every part.
Today's special.
Be like the earth, humble and wise. Be like the rain, pouring all your love to every soul.
Now let's have a short look at Islam and freedom of thought. The freedom to think and reflect allows a person to engage in a search for the truth regarding the affairs of humanity. Some people think that this contradicts any religious conviction. To them, you have to be either a free thinker or a religious person. Sometimes people have convictions without them being the result of a rational process of reasoning and arguing. They just accept certain things emotionally or because of the influence of the peers, elders, society, media, and etc. Surely these types of convictions represent great obstacles of free thinking. In contrast, there are people who have convictions and firm beliefs which result from an earlier process of free thinking and rational decision making. They have made sure that the only reason for accepting and upholding these positions is that they are backed up by safe and sound arguments. In such cases, there is no conflict between freedom of thought and upholding those positions. Indeed, this is the only way forward. In science, philosophy, and any other discipline, we need to build upon our findings. We cannot always start from scratch. Therefore, instead of dismissing all types of convictions and affiliations, we need to investigate them and check on which basis they rely.
Help me. Somebody just tell me, where is my freedom?
You are with IRIB English Radio, and today is a special. This part is about the concept of freedom in Nahjul Balagha. In Nahjul Balagha, Imam Ali alayhi salam has repeatedly emphasized that Allah created man as a free being with sound senses and reason, and led him with his grace to the right path. But it was man who chained himself with false desires and misguided ambitions. He stresses this point with regards to man's natural makeup and his ability to exercise his freedom in the right path. Rousseau's famous dictum, "Man was born free, but everywhere he is in chains," echoes the utterance of Imam Ali, peace be upon him, repeated time and again during his indefatigable struggle for human freedom at a time when it was threatened by the slaves of worldly desires and encroached upon by those who wanted to reduce a free Muslim society to a tyrannical monarchy.
God says to the Prophet, "If your Lord had willed, he would have made all people one community," meaning one religious community, one madhab, one faith. But he did not do that. He did not create people. He did not force them to embrace one faith, one religious tradition. He didn't. Why he didn't? Because the act of faith belongs to your heart, and it has to be about choice. If we have no choice in selecting faith or religion, then there is no worth in following that religion. It would not be fruitful to us if we don't have choice. If we are forced to follow a tradition, then we are not going to be genuine, and this will create hypocrisy. It means that you are following something that you don't understand or you don't like. Whereas Allah wants us to believe in religion and accept it out of conviction, out of reason, out of understanding, out of love. This should be our choice. The day religion starts to have a value, not only a value, but an effect on our life, is when it becomes my choice. My choice. I have selected this religion. Not somebody forced me. The government forced me to be Muslim. Or my parents, or my family, or my tradition, or my community. I have selected that. Therefore Allah says to the Prophet, don't force people. أَفَأَنْتَ تُكْرِهُ النَّاسِ. Are you going to force? تُكْرِه means compel. Are you going to compel people, حَتَّى يَكُونُوا مُؤْمِنِينَ, to accept faith? Don't do that. Don't force them. Teach them. Educate them. Present Islam to them, but don't force them. Don't force anyone, even in your family, even in your community.
Dear brothers and sisters, thank you very much. We were speaking about freedom in Islam. Inshallah, we continue this topic on the next episode of today's special. Till then, we leave you in Allah's blessings. Have a nice time.
They told me that I'm crazy. Who you're praying for? They told me there is nothing. Who you're looking for? Stop doing what you're doing, cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I'll show you what's behind your door. And they
They showed me all kind of lies. My eyes were locked, yes, I was mesmerized. But deep inside I know that there's a better world. Cause I'm a believer. I'm a believer.
The light.
Robots now helping as teaching aids in some Korean kindergartens. The pint-sized machines do everything they can, from singing to reciting stories. The robots, being as tall as nearly 25 centimeters, can also dance, have sing songs, and even teach kung fu moves. That gives children fun as they mimic the robots' push-ups and one-legged balances. It's also good for the kids' creativity. In fact, that's the purpose of sending the robots to hundreds of kindergartens in Seoul, beginning from August. Each robot has a camera and its helmet, making it possible to take photos and send them to a tablet for viewing. Teachers say they love their new ways.
The robots are helpful when at times it's hard for me to read everyone's stories. The robots can read out stories in a very entertaining way by switching voices accordingly.
For now, the robots are being used as part of a pilot program, but Korean education officials hope to use them more widely, although they say the machines would not replace teachers. The officials believe having this experience in nursery schools will have a lasting effect throughout the kids' youth and as adults.
Spacecraft are used for a range of purposes, from observation to exploration and navigation. But this specific spacecraft was designed for a totally different purpose, to smash into an asteroid. In a first-of-its-kind mission, NASA launched the vehicle, Dot Dot, from a Space Force base in California. The mission will take 10 months to travel to a pair of asteroids. It will eventually crash into one of two rocks and see if it can change its course. Just before impact, DOT will deploy a small satellite to take photos of the crash. Space organizations around the world are eager to find ways of countering objects that might head towards the Earth. The good news, though, is that for now, none of those objects are a threat. Old manuscripts are precious and can sometimes fetch attractive sums of money, but this one has gone far beyond, as it's a really rare handwriting belonging to a world-famous scientist. This manuscript was sold for a whopping $13 million at an auction at Christie's in Paris, but would you still be surprised if we told you that it belongs to no one but the great physicist of our time, Albert Einstein? Einstein did not have a habit of keeping drafts, and this is one of only two manuscripts that have survived. Einstein wrote the 54-page document in the early 1900s in Zurich, Switzerland, and his colleague Michel Besseau has preserved it since then. The document contains Einstein's preparatory work for his signature achievement, the theory of general relativity. Einstein's letters have set records twice before, but for much lower prices. November is the best time of the year to see polar bears moving around Canadian shores. During this month, the carnivores gather in large numbers and wait for the waters to freeze before they begin their seal hunt. These bears are playing and wrestling in the Canadian city of Churchill, dubbed the polar bear capital of the world. The area is located within a natural habitat of a large population of polar bears. Sometimes the city's residents even share their streets with these animals. Currently, there are nearly 25,000 polar bears in the wild, and Canada is home to more than 17,000 of them. However, wildlife organizations say these animals are facing the threat of extinction by the end of the century due to global warming. Robots in a war ravaged city. Androids serve clients in a restaurant in Mosul, an Iraqi city that still bears the scars of the years-long presence of terrorist groups. This fully digital eatery offers a futuristic experience to its customers. From interactive tables to glowing constellations, everything seems like a journey to the future. But the robot waiters are the stars of the show, and the major reason the restaurant attracts a large number of visitors every night.
The idea started during the COVID lockdown. As you know, people spent most of their time on social media during that period, since commuting was not allowed. So we tried to look at different ideas from around the world, and thank God we were able to execute this idea and complete this project.
The owner of the eatery says he has imported the robots, but other technologies used there are the work of a group of young engineers from the University of Mosul. The venue has already become very popular, and many visitors call it their favorite place in the city. Qatar displays a dazzling drone show as it unveils the countdown clock for the 2022 FIFA World Cup in Doha. The clock, in the shape of an hourglass, is located at Doha's iconic Cornish fishing spot. The distinctive design enables the structure to be seen from any angle and stand out from the spectacular city skyline behind it. The event reveals to fans worldwide that just 1 year to go to the big kickoff, famous athletes including David Beckham and Samuel Eto'o were in attendance at the ceremony. They may not realize it, but they are extremely lucky. Two pandas have been adopted by superstars. Chinese Olympic champion Zhang Jiechi and Paris Saint-Germain footballer Kylian Mbappe have become godparents to a pair of panda cubs. The athletes have both expressed satisfaction with their new role, with Mbappe calling his godparenthood a big moment. The cute cubs are only 3 months old and can barely stand on their own feet. They are called Yuan Dudu and Huan Lili. Space lovers have been treated to an epic lunar eclipse that dazzled the night skies of the Northern Hemisphere. The event is also known as the Blood Moon because of the red haze seen around the moon during the eclipse. The 3.5-hour phenomenon gave stargazers the chance to witness the longest partial eclipse in 580 years. Although NASA calls this celestial event a partial eclipse, around 97% of the moon was cast into a red hue by the Earth's shadow. A total eclipse could also be seen in Russia's far eastern regions. The next longest partial eclipse will take place in around 648 years.
An 11-month-old baby has become an internet sensation after a video of her snowboarding went viral in China. Wang Yuji is a daredevil infant snowboarder whose adorable face sticks out underneath all the protective snow and sports gear. Her parents decided to learn skiing during the winter, but they also wanted to include their baby on the fun of snow sports. While snowboarding might be a bit too early for a toddler who can barely stand or walk, Yuji was not scared at all and even enjoyed it. China, which is hosting the Winter Olympics in a couple of months, is encouraging citizens to try ice and snow sports.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields, like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Every year, the roads across this tiny island in northwestern Australia turn scarlet just as millions of crabs leave their homes in the depths of the forest and start marching together all the way to the ocean where they can mate and spawn. The spectacular group voyage on Christmas Island happens after the first rainfall in October or November. And in order to give these red creatures the leeway, locals close off multiple roads across the island. They've even built a special bridge for the crabs so that they can cross the road unharmed. The mesmerizing migration is now a tourist attraction, drawing nature lovers from around the globe.
Paleontologists in Brazil have discovered remains that could belong to a species of dinosaur as yet unknown. The fossils were found at a site in northeastern Brazil. A team of scientists is trying to put together the bones and complete the huge dinosaur's skeleton. They think it lived during the Cretaceous period, which began around 145 million years ago and ended with extinction of all dinosaurs roughly 66 million years ago.
A new study shows that moderate consumption of tea and coffee may be better for your health than previously thought. The study conducted by a Chinese medical university says tea and coffee can help keep stroke and dementia at bay. And if you're wondering what is meant by moderate consumption, it's defined as something between 2 and 5 cups of tea and coffee, either alone or combined in one day. The study followed more than 360,000 people aged 50 to 74 for over a decade. Some scientists have praised the study as robust. Others, however, say the participants were all selected from the UK Biobank, which means they're healthier than the general population. Pomegranate has a special place in Iranian culture. There is a trace of the fruit everywhere from poetry to cooking. Iranians even hold a pomegranate festival in the fall. This year the event is held in one of the main parks in the capital, Tehran. The festival features different varieties of pomegranates that are grown across Iran. The visitors can also find pomegranate products, including juices, concentrates, and dressings. The event includes cultural parades, music concerts, and traditional live performances. Iranians say they always welcome the pomegranate season, as it's one of the old symbols in the country's literature and art. The Christmas season always brings happiness and joy to people around the world. Many Parisians these days are taking a respite from their daily routines and hitting famous departmental stores now light up with present boxes. Cheerful families could be spotted at Christmas-decorated galleries, Lafayette and Printemps department stores. Automated figures and colorful window displays are the center of attractions for them and their children. It's a season when people buy Christmas gifts for their loved ones and stores make big profits this time around. Many Parisians say they want to take advantage of this period as the government is debating whether or not to impose a COVID-related lockdown. Venezuela, a large number of musicians are striving for one common goal, and that's setting the Guinness record as the world's largest orchestra. Over 12,000 musicians, mostly children and adolescents, have played together to make that happen. Hundreds of violins, violas, and double basses playing in unison at this setting in Caracas. The musicians are all connected to the country's network of youth orchestras. For them to set a record, over 8,000 instruments had to play at the same time during a 5-minute period of a classical piece. Right now, a Russian orchestra that played the country's national anthem is holding the record. Once done, the crowd of musicians erupted in cheers, lifting their instruments and waving Venezuelan flags. Guinness will announce its decision in the next 10 days. Tourists and residents in Los Angeles have been mesmerized by a dazzling new event the U.S. city is hosting, with holiday-themed and full of colorful lights. Visitors can enjoy a mile-long walkway covered on all sides with brightly lit installations. Artists from around the world have taken part in the exhibition. The centerpiece display is a cathedral tunnel lit with thousands of bulbs. Another amazing attraction is the orbs, lit up with thousands of torches. The event has been a huge hit with the LA public.
Oh my gosh, it's so nice.
And it gets to be out in the open, and it's like a perfect night to do it, so it's great.
It's definitely the best. Like, we had to do, like, in a car to go see lights, and then we got to, like, now, like, go around and actually walk and get to see everything up close, which is super nice.
Yeah.
Definitely after the, what, year and a half that we've had. Yeah. So.
And it's really nice to see everything up close, because it's like, you see in a photo, but then it's more real and real, so.
Yeah.
The event opened to the public on the 12th of November and will run for 5 nights. Preparations for the event, however, started a month ago. The organizers say millions of bulbs and 17 miles of cables are used for the 18 art installations.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.